country, half a world from home, and it shook with the fire and thunder of war. But our nation shared its struggle, and so we came to Vietnam. Here, in the sounds of the country and its people, in the sounds of battle and danger and fear and courage, here is Vietnam, as lived by the American fighting man. For every man, the war begins on a different day. For some, when a jet transport touches down at Tan Son Nhut or Da Nang. For others, the war begins at the foot of the gangplank at Vung Tau, Quy Nhon, or Cam Ranh Bay. So this is Vietnam. First impressions, disarming. Those green, peaceful hills, quaint, inviting villages, the small, gentle-appearing people. Rice paddies? Looks like a nice place to soak your feet. Hey, Sarge, you say there's a war on here? Wait one, trooper. Wait one. You are the best-trained fighting man our country has ever sent to war. Remember, but this is a new kind of war, and your enemy is resourceful, brave, and cunning. You train some more, and every man listens up, because the next time is for real.
Searching for the enemy. Move out.
What's in on the drive? We'll steal our guts. You men are going to war. Stand up and at the ready in your crouch. Don't look left and right.
Alert!
Look,
alive!
The enemy.
Slide left three, slide left four.
Hey. Observer, sound off! What you got down there? Hey. Get out!
Shoot him, hold
okay,
on,
four, watch the mistake. You can't see anything. What do you do? Pull your back, roll over. Get around the other side of the eye. Right? There you go. There you go. Now you're something with the manager.
Alert, alive. Alert, alive. You carry the lessons of training to the tests of war. And Vietnam engraves itself on a new set of senses. Rice paddy, no cover, trail, punji steaks, farmer, Viet Cong, elephant grass, ambush, shadows, movement, hair trigger eyes. What's that on the trail? What moved there? That shadow of the tree line. What's that little boy carrying in his hand? And ears you never knew you had, tuned to Charlie's War, to the sounds of a jungle night in Vietnam as you lay in ambush, listening. And the other sounds, of the monsoon rain pouring down. Or the night-long drizzle drumming on your poncho. Of your feet sloshing through streams and rice paddies. Little sounds of war. Of a wounded baby crying. Of your platoon digging in at day's end. Of your own artillery at night. After a while, you never woke. Your ear had learned the difference between incoming and outgoing. And the sounds you could cut with a knife. Of your patrol slipping through a Viet Cong jungle.
With fighting holes, trenches, all very well concealed. Coming out of the undergrowth now.
And the sound of Charlie bringing the war to you with the knifing crack of a sniper's bullet.
Close.
Or the numbing terror of a mortar attack at night. The night, in reality, explodes all around you. Men jarred from sleep struggle to their fighting holes. Why didn't I dig it deeper? If you have lived through a mortar attack, you know the feeling that every round is going to drop into your hip pocket. And when you're riveted to that heaving, dark earth, every swear word is really a prayer.
Corman to 81.
Corman to 81. We're taking casualties. There, the flash of enemy mortars from that hilltop. Artillery, call for Artie. In the next foxhole, you can hear the lieutenant already on the phone. Fire mission. An artillery battery miles away. Here's our call.
Victor Charlie location. We'll adjust weight.
Range 8240.
Gun crews race against time. Move. Move. Our men are in trouble out there.
461.
Our fighting holes, it's the longest wait in the world. But when artillery arrives, when it drops down Charlie's throat, it's the most beautiful, ugly sound in the world. On target. Charlie's mortars are stilled. We dig deeper into our holes. We'll sleep there. We collect our casualties. We have four wounded, but it's over. And the war is shorter by one more dirty, sleepless, fear-filled night of Vietnam. ¶¶ there's another Vietnam, where men no longer fight, of hamlets made secure, where peace and a future sprout in a land that's known little of either, where American medicine cures a sick baby, where Vietnamese hospitality makes an American forget he's homesick, and where little children carry on their old romance with the American GI.
Hey,
Dad.
Number one. Hey, Dad, come here. What's your name? Okay, what's your name, you? What's your name?
And there are moments taken from war for a man to unwind, to write his thoughts home, to talk Vietnam off his chest.
This godforsaken country, I don't care how much they publicize this, they just don't know what hell is until they come here. They can't imagine what the United States men are going through here. Even if they're not fighting these men, this terrain and this temperature is unbearable. It's terrible. And you're in a country, you're away from home, and the people sit over there and they demonstrate. I just can't understand it. I wish we could get them over here just for even a couple of weeks, just so they could see what it's like over here, what these men are going through for them.
Sure, join the army and come on over, see what it's like. We go 7 days a week. 12, 14 hours a day. What little spare time there is, these guys spend writing letters, go down to the club, have a few beers. For the full year we're here, none of us can afford to get drunk ever. And 3 day pass, we never heard of one. I've been here 5 months, I've had one half of 1 day off, and I wrote letters and slept.
Sometimes we lay out here in positions, and bugs and ants crawl all over them. After you've been out here about 6 or 7 months, it just doesn't bother you anymore. You just say, oh, well, what the hell? Forget it.
It's a lot of mountain country. You got to do a lot of what we call humping.
You can get used to it, but you can't get used to people shooting at you.
Well, really, Charlie, that's about the only thing that bothers me over here. And when I'm shot at and come real close, it has a great effect on me.
Well, when you talk about combat, you got to realize that all this isn't just fighting. You got to stand out there and water up your knees day after day, and heat's unbearable, and it always isn't just fighting. There's other things that work a man a lot harder than getting shot at.
The red ants are vicious. They will bite, and they will attack.
And you got some other kind of ants. They got these red ants. They're clear as red, and they got black beady eyes. Bad ants, boy. Let me tell you, these are some bad ants. And the most of the time when I see them, I take my mosquito repellent and throw on them, burn them up. And then come night, I'm in trouble again. I don't have no mosquito repellent for the mosquitoes. So you had to be careful whatever you do over here.
Which is bothering me a lot. So you'd be walking along, though, in the water, with through the rice paddies or anywhere. You think you got a leech on your leg and you're afraid to look and stop. You do got a leech on your leg.
They got black ants here that, you know, scarf up on food. They open sea rations for you.
And you know what they say about these two seasons they have over here, hot and dry and hot and wet. And the hot and wet, you stay muddy and dirty.
And they got all kinds of snakes and bugs over here. You got the bushmaster and a cobra, bamboo viper and the banana viper, and you name it, they got it.
Well, yes, I was laying in the CP one day with my shirt unbuttoned, and one crawled up on my stomach and jumped off to the side, but... I didn't really get a good look. By the time he was going one way and I was going the other, we was both too fast to recognize each other.
These little small ants that you don't see during the day, they don't even bother you, see? And you lay down at night, you roll your poncho out, you lay down on it, and you devour it right there. You can hang it up. That's about the only kind of ants I can think of right now.
Well, these punji sticks, they're a pain sometimes.
I tell you, I've been in this platoon for 3 months, but I think it's just about anything that happens... outside of a person getting shot or anything, this platoon would laugh about it. I mean, as one of my sergeants told me, I think this platoon could go through hell and come out laughing about it.
Well, I'm from Georgia, and I miss laying down on the river at this time of year, fishing.
Miss my wife and sleep.
Well, my family mostly, just through friends.
Cold water. You just can't get it around here.
No, other than ice, probably. I don't know, just the normal conveniences that seem like you take for granted all the time when you're home.
Cold milk and ice cream.
Good food.
I don't know, there's just nothing like an American girl.
Mostly I think you think about home, what you're going to do when you get there, and just pass time away, think of the different things you used to do, just hoping for the time when you get to go back?
I guess on account of days I'll go home. I check them off. I got umpteen hundred to go, but I'm still counting.
About the first thing I'm going to do is get right down and kiss the American soil.
Well, my first thing I want to do is get me a real hot bath, get in the tub and soak for about 3 hours, get some of this crud off me that's been on for the last 9 months or so.
I never realized what home was like, man. I tell you, the United States is terrific. I don't care.
Well, all I can say is, when I die, I have to go to heaven because I would spend my time in hell, because I don't think hell could be no worse.
And then there is Saigon, fevered capital of a country at war, oasis for the American fighting man. In every rice paddy of Vietnam, her name is a promise of life. If you can survive her traffic. For Saigon's trip to the noisiest, riskiest no man's land in Vietnam. Seagulls, scooters, trucks, bicycles, jeeps, water buffalo, you name it, Saigon rifle. And the sidewalks, swarming with people, cluttered with the wares of the sidewalk vendors, awash in the strange smells and sounds of Saigon.
I work for you. I'm with you,
okay? Where are you going off? Take number one.
Okay, I'd like to go here. Okay. How much you pay, my friend? Okay. I'm
grateful. I tell you, I got young number one for you. Really, very nice.
I believe it's down this way here. It's on Tudor Street. See, Tudor is a...
And Saigon is Tudor Street. 100 bars. 1,000 scooters, 10,000 number one girls. But most important for some GIs, it was 1 million miles from war. Saigon is other things. Gift buying on Leloy Avenue. A fine meal with the strangeness of a waiter and a napkin. Short, fleeting days in rented cities. A dozen service clubs where fighting men forget for a moment. And if you're in Saigon on a national holiday, it is Saigon as it must have been. Fireworks, festivities, parades. Nation, a generation at war deserves parades. A brave city deserves gaiety. But it does not last. Saigon cannot hide the scars on its soul. You see it in the faces of 100 street urchins. You hear it in the song of a blind war veteran begging on the streets of Saigon on a rainy night. His song speaks for the city of war. Dear unknown, you are a man. You must march off to war. My eyes seem to tell you to love life. But inside, I am too sad to say the words. A song of the 1960s. Saigon, Vietnam.
Good morning, Vietnam.
In the loneliness and isolation of Vietnam, a tiny transistor radio can remind you that a world is still out there. And what a world it is.
Tổng thống Sukarno, tướng Suharto, người hùng của Indonesia.
Apocalypse 19:7 nous donne une belle révélation de cet événement.
The time is 1300 GMT.
This program is coming to you from the United States of America.
This is Manila calling.
Direct from Radio Australia.
From Washington, the voice of America.
This is London.
Or the sounds from the enemy's camp, of Radio Peking, and the ranting shouts of a million Chinese demonstrating against you. Or Hanoi Hattie, reading our casualty lists over Radio Hanoi.
Well, under the list of more Americans killed in trenches war in South Vietnam over recent camps. Corporal Barry W. Duff, Baltimore, Maryland.
Under the glorious banner of the South Vietnam National Front for Liberation, and with their hearts burning with deep hatred for the U.S. aggressive gangsters and the traitorous lackeys, they will continue to take the offensive with consummate daring and fight most valiantly, dealing 100 times or 1,000 times heavier blows at the enemy.
Vietnam will win. U.S. imperialism will lose. Who thought the whole world unite down with U.S. imperialism? Long live the militant friendship between the Chinese and Vietnamese people. Long live Chairman Mao Zedong. Long live President Ho Chi Minh.
Radio Peking wishes you all a pleasant good evening.
And then there's the reassuring sound of home away from home. Good old Armed Forces Radio.
This is Armed Forces Radio, Vietnam.
Good evening and welcome now to Night Beat.
Well, good morning and welcome back to the Don Buster on this Saturday morning.
Today we salute
8th Tactical Bomb Squadron.
Here is News on the Hour from the Armed Forces Radio and Television Newsroom. Senate and House conferees were reported to have reached tentative agreement today. And the sounds of your countrymen, 10,000 miles away.
The 2-1 delivery, swung on a bouncing ball near second base. The knob has it, shovels it, Perdosa gets inside to the fourth on Gellerou. And that does it for the Twins.
Life as usual, sounds go strange here. Do they know? Can they? Bong San. Play Me. The Battle of Ayodrang. The Rock Pile. The Delta. Happy Valley. LZ X-Ray. Hill 400. Operation Crazy Horse. Paul Revere. Hawthorne. Hastings. Prairie. Names. Big names for a million small acts of heroism. For a thousand yesterdays of American courage. But they are yesterday. And the war goes on. It is another day of war. Our night's patrols have returned. With first light, the rotors of our recon choppers whirl to light. Today we go after Charlie. We will drop into his backyard. Before the day is over, we'll meet him in battle. Assault plans have been drawn. Orders issued. Now, armed clusters of fighting men crowd the helipads, waiting to board their lift choppers. Officers greet their men for the last time.
Our intelligence indicates that there's probably a battalion or a unit of battalion strength in the area there.
And Echo Company in company strength up on the high ground. We'll see what they can stir up. Foxtrot and Hotel companies will continue with platoon size
operations. We'll through the area where the heaviest contact was made yesterday. To clear out any possible VC that are in there.
We've been making entries into the area here, and at our level, from our standpoint, I can only tell you one thing for sure, and that is that there are a lot of people out there who are not friendly to us.
And at air bases throughout Vietnam, Air Force and Marine pilots prepare for close ground support strikes.
For Demon 5-1, mission number 72472, you have a direct air support mission in 3-4. GCI will be Paris. Your fax, signed by Nur 1, your ID card, your shot record, limited card, and dog tag.
Bingo in the target area will be 5,300 pounds. If anybody sees any ground fire, call that out so the rest of us will be aware of it. We may want to change our tactics depending upon the ground fire.
912, Roger 1203, indication of us to 1-8-3-4 media takeoff. 6-9-7, we're ready for media rolling takeoff.
We board our choppers. Seven men each, with weapons, ammo, prayers. The first assault wave lifts off. We're on our way. Miles forward, our artillery pounds the landing zone. Charlie's there, waiting. We've got his undivided attention. Huey gunships, armed helicopters follow the artillery in, raking the landing zone with machine guns and rockets. From Chu Lai, Benoit, Da Nang, Phan Rang, Tonsonut, or a dozen other airfields, our air support roars aloft. They'll be on call if the going gets rough. We're on a Navy aircraft carrier off the coast of Vietnam. Its flight deck shrieks with jets impatient for launch. They're part of our fighting team, too. The launch command is given. We're now 3 minutes from the landing zone. Charlie there, dug in, waiting. Charlie. You try not to think about him, but you remember everything your buddy's ever said.
He's jungle-wise, much more so than we are. We spend, in this unit particularly, 100% of our time looking for him. And it's weeks at a time we won't see hiding a hair of him, yet he's all around us.
Charlie in the field, the young fellow, is maybe 18, 19, 20 years old. He's a kid and he's got an awful lot of guts.
Once he does make contact with the American unit, he'll fight until the last man is gone.
Many times we fought all day and not seen one.
Pretty slack here. The way they fight, it's dirty. And they don't care how they do it. Punji sticks, anything else, believe me. Just the way they go about it, just a smile, you can't see them. You can't find them, they run right, you right up on them for you. When it hits you.
He knows how to use every weapon in the book. He can use anything you drop. So you got to be real careful of him.
He can be where you least expect him, and then again, where you expect him, he won't be.
I'd say you hate him. I would. I hate him. First day Jim Gotsa got hit, I hated him ever since then.
The main thing you have to worry about is getting out of those choppers, especially on a hot LZ. Getting out of those choppers, getting off the LZ.
We're going in. Chopper's gunner opens up on the tree line. Touchdown. Get out. Move out. Sometimes the LZ is quiet. But sometimes it's hot. Hot as hell. These are voices and thoughts from battle. These men know what hell is like.
It was just like one great big nightmare, but then it's reality. Men weren't just hit once, they were hit multiple times. Both arms, both legs, stomach, chest, head. Men were still saying, three or four holes in them. Doc, I'm all right, just give me my rifle. I'll be okay. Let me hold them off. Doc, I don't want to die. Just laying here. Give me my rifle. I'm going to die fighting.
They were coming in so close, you could hear them whistle past you. You could see. Yeah, I was looking up, and I seen this one just cut through the leaves, maybe 3 inches from my head. Looked to my side one time, and I seen one hit the dirt no more than 3 or 4 inches from my side.
Grenade going off in front of the hole. Grenade going off in front of me. I mean, right in front of me. I looked at it go off. And I figured, for a second, I thought I was blind. Just for a second, I thought I couldn't see, but then I looked up, and I was all right.
Guys, oh, Jesus Christ, it was like a, I don't know, you can describe it like people say, it was like a 4th of July. Because there was green tracers, yellow tracers, white, and all red ones.
None of us thought we'd ever get there alive, believe me. None of us, not a one. Rifle fire, machine gun fire, grenades, moans, groans, groups howling all over the place.
At first, I got scared, and then just wanted to kill.
I can't explain it in words. Your blood gets hot. You want to shoot them, but you can't shoot enough of them.
Definitely, I was scared. That's true right there. Anybody that goes out to stuff like that says he's not, it's crazy.
It's not that you're not scared of death, but you don't want to die. So you just fight as hard as you can. And you're fighting so hard, you're concentrating on fighting so hard, you don't even think about death.
You couldn't feel nothing. Lay down on sticks, thorns, normally hurt to beat the band. They weren't there no more. Just trying to get down as close to that ground as you could.
I think you think about 20,000 times faster than usual. I don't know. I think I was.
I'll tell you the truth, though. First night, I had a pretty rough. It was the first time that I've really seen any action like that. You know, I was really scared.
These gooks running down there, in a way it changes. You look at them, they don't even look like humans anymore. To me, I didn't have no sorry feelings about them at all, knowing that they might get you the next minute.
The
napalm was landing so close. If I'd had a couple of eggs, I could have fried them. Sky jockeys really deserve a job well done.
Well, I was a ticket just. I could see him coming down, and one of them dropped a bomb so close it blew my helmet off. But I didn't care. I was still glad to see them. They were beautiful.
They're always beautiful. Ask any foot soldier. These are the voices of Marine combat correspondents with units pinned down by enemy fire. Air support is there.
We've got three F-4B Phantoms from VMFA 115. Holding an airstrike now just to our front. Oh, a few hundred meters in front of us. And they're dropping 1,000 pounders. There goes another one. That's what a 1,000 pounder sounds like, hitting just a few hundred meters to our front. Here comes the next one now, number three.
Dropped one napalm bomb right smack dab on the target. It was a beautiful run. You could almost read the insignia on that pilot's helmet. He was so low. Here he comes again, right in on the treetops again. Here he comes. He's straight and dropped two napalm. Beautiful shot. These A-4 pilots, I've talked to them at other times, and they all tell me that they love this close air support, and they certainly do a tremendous job at their work, too.
You're in the cockpit of a jet on a ground support mission. A forward air controller directs the dive bombing.
Okay, the next bomb is at 6 o'clock at 200 meters. It is in the tree line.
Condo 82-1 is turning in.
Roger, 4, no drop is here.
That last drop looked to me like it's on the east side of the road. Don't you want them on the west?
That's roger. The target is still at 9 o'clock at 100 meters, and that's the only drop I've seen so far.
82-1 is in.
And I do want them on the west side of the road.
You're pretty low on speed. 15 slow. Stand by. West, west!
And the war in Vietnam is the war of the helicopter. It puts you in. It supplies you. It takes you out. We're with an American unit surrounded on a hilltop, blasting a landing zone for choppers while it fights for its life. Gunnery Sergeant Carl Hillstrom is there.
Point to the fact that we're on all sides of it right now. To our left, to our right, to our front.
Get what you are held in.
On railroad track.
The hell is on ready yet?
We're down.
We
really
don't know if it's desirable for you to move in this position.
We have to. How far down?
Just keep moving in this direction. I don't know if it's desirable.
25 meters down. All right, they're down here.
Who are the bad guys?
Hey, Don, you have people here, right?
We're trying to evacuate our wounded. We must get a medevac chopper down. But each time one tries to come in, Viet Cong gunners open up and drive it off.
Looks like the H-34, the Marine H-34 is coming in. Heavy fire, guys.
The chopper tries again, its crew risking their lives. He's coming in. Take off. They make it. Mission accomplished. Again. Another day of fighting ends. It is the day which ends, never the fighting. The last aircraft of the day's missions returns to its carrier. The foot soldier digs into the soil of Vietnam for yet another night. And a platoon marching the last mile to base camp lightens its fatigue with song. Americans, you ask how these men of yours endure. How they are winning this impossible war. How they fight on and why. They are here in Vietnam to fight, to build, to win. And they will stay as long as their nation asks. Today they bear the dangers and the burdens of war. Tomorrow they will wear the service ribbon and the pride. And both will say, this man served his country in Vietnam.
Recording made of air traffic in the area of Thud Ridge to the west of Hanoi, involving an F-105 flight, a Detroit flight, and one of Detroit's aircraft. They think the pilot became hypoxic. He never made it home, and we can't, they never did quite figure out what happened to him, but he apparently was shot down or otherwise crashed. At any rate, here's the tape.
We got mixed under. Come on, we're back. On the roof. Detroit, we got mixed under. Come on back around. Come on back around. All right, I got him. Okay, sir. And fire and heavy. I got mixed all around this place. Come on up here. Come on back. We're in Detroit. Look at the mate. God, you little bastard, let's fight. Okay, Detroit, there's a mate going, turning south here. Got a bogey high at 11 o'clock, where is it? Got it. Okay, it's an unfriendly. Hey, the building in the airfield out here. Okay, Chuck.
Give me a little good detour three, please. Roger, you have a tally on me? Roger, you're a long left turn down across the river. There's a boat in the black. I had one on my hand for a minute. Better take a lead on left. I'm going up the right side. This is two.
Okay,
Texas, go fly them up. Okay, Texas, go fly them up. This is Bone Crusher on drive. This is Bone Crusher on drive. Hotel 1, Lincoln Time, 0845. Out.